Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started.
Hey there, and welcome back. So today's episode is something a little bit different. Instead of being in the host chair, I have the honor of being a guest on the Humble Rising podcast with Arivi Vargas. Arivi is a powerhouse. She's a coach, a speaker, and an advocate for women stepping fully into their lives with joy, courage, and authenticity. Her mission aligns so beautifully with ours here at The Confident Woman, and I couldn't wait to share our conversation with you. In this episode, we dive deep into some of the struggles so many of us face, whether it's chasing perfection, hustling for our worth, wrestling with limiting beliefs, and learning how to step into freedom by embracing who we truly are. You'll hear my personal journey and also practical insights that I hope will encourage and empower you wherever you are on your path. I can't wait for you to listen. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Arivi on the Humble Rising podcast.
Rachel, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast. It's such a great pleasure to have you here with me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited for us to unpack so much of this content that we're excited to share.
Yes. For those who are listening, I was telling Rachel before we jumped on with all of you that I was excited about our conversation because there are a lot of synergies between us and we probably have similar philosophies on a lot of things. So Rachel, let's start with your story. What led you to do what you do today?
Yeah, my story really is, which is funny because I actually have a book that tells a story, which is Chasing Perfection, A Journey to Healing, Fitness, and Self-Love. And really that has been the crux and the backbone to everything that I do from a personal standpoint, but also has led me into the works that I do as far as my business and my personal brand as well. So the story all came about after hitting a very low point in my life where it just felt like life just compounded over time and eventually just broke me and I felt very broken. So I'm sitting in this kind of metaphorical pit wondering, how did I get here? And I think for many of us that we hit these low points in our lives, but what I want to inspire, encourage our listeners here is what are we doing with these low points, right? So in this kind of stale place that I'm sitting in, I had two choices. Either I could stay down or I can climb my way out. And the climb out was much harder. And in that climb, I really had to face a few questions that I asked myself, which are what I coin as fundamental questions. I asked myself, who am I? What's holding me back? And why? Do we really dig deep into our identity? Do we really dig deep into who we are in this very moment, in this season? But how I got to that pit was really from a compounding of past, from beliefs, from lies, traumas, drama, abuse. And as I'm sitting there wondering, why did this happen to me? Why would this happen to me? As I'm sitting there again, who am I? What's holding me back? But now that past in this present moment doesn't exist because I had to do something different about the situation. And I started thinking, then who am I in this moment? I'm not this, I'm not that. It was titles and roles and identities that were passed on. But then I had to ask myself that layer question again, but who am I really? Because who am I really wouldn't have kept me in this pit. Who am I really is not the person who will climb out of this pit. And that's where I had to figure out, who am I in this moment? All the way down to the core, but that core was sitting in that pit that forced me in that timeout. And here I am out of this pit, but it was the journey to really self-discovery, letting go of those limiting beliefs, letting go of the past, forgiveness, healing. Really that journey led me to where I'm at today, which the number one person I had to really faith in my life was my own reflection, my own self, what I thought of myself, how I perceived myself. And I knew that the woman that I was in the pit could not be that woman to get me out of the pit. So I had to redefine who she was. For me, I'm deeply rooted in my faith. I believe that God had a purpose and a plan for me, but I had to accept and believe that. And when I asked myself, who am I? It wasn't just about who Rachel believes that she is. It was now digging deeper into my faith and saying, who does God say that I am? And that was the turning point, because the I am statements that I was speaking to and about myself were not godly, were not encouraging, were not empowering. They're very toxic and negative. And sometimes those mantras or those statements are on autopilot and they just are autoresponders. But it forced the light on those areas in my life that I realized that I was holding myself back. Yes, what had happened to me was now something I can empower myself to use that for the good and say, this happened for me. And that's what God does. What is intended for bad will be used for good. And that was the turning point of everything in my life now, because it was like light was shined in this darkest moments of my life. There was no escaping it. And so through doing the inner work, prayer, forgiveness, gratitude, and self-identity has allowed me to climb out of that pit stronger than I am today, allowed me to redefine who I am. It allowed me to step fully into this courageous, confident version of me, which I didn't even think could even be possible, because that was not for me. So my belief said. And here I am having this platform and sharing my story. So there's so much of this story that obviously is transpired into the book, which has gone on to be a multi-award-winning book. God divinely inspired me to write this book, and I was arguing with him and the whole bit. Part of my vow to that was, you can help me get out of this pit. I promise to help others get out of there and do the inner work as well. So it led me into empowering women to know who they are, to the platform for the Confident Woman podcast, to all the initiatives that we have that underneath the Confident Woman. Because the Confident Woman is the destination, but as we know, we never arrive at the destination. It's continuously moving along our journeys. That was part of my story that I had to redeem and restore my self-identity, because I hadn't believed that, but I knew where that came from. And that was something that I was deeply rooted into my faith, and that continues to get stronger over time.
Rachel, you mentioned so many different aspects of your journey, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to a lot of it. I certainly can. You talk about facing yourself and confronting yourself and facing the truth of what that is. And you talk about limiting beliefs and negative self-talk. I wonder if you can share with people some of the maybe most challenging limiting beliefs and the hardest negative self-talk to break that cycle. What would you say were the most difficult to change or reframe?
I would say for me, it really hits home at the root. And I think that we're all chasing that moment of enough. We want to know, are we enough? Is the works that we do enough? Is our identity enough? Am I good enough? Am I lovable? Am I acceptable? Are people going to like me? But those questions that we ask to and about ourselves, for me, I had come to terms at that point to say, I know who I am and I am enough. I don't have to chase anymore. We want everything to look so perfect on the outside, because then it will be enough and people can't really see the pain and the shame and the use and abuse, all the things that were perfectly curated on our feed, perfectly poised in how we present ourselves. But there was this mask of perfection, because the enoughness that I struggled with is universal. It was a struggle that we all endure and we all ask ourselves this. And I think that's really the question that we're after. Is it enough? And for me, like I said, I go back to my faith. God said I'm enough. And whether it's God or higher power or source, you have to come to terms that your enough is good enough just as you are. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to pretend anymore. So when you can accept where you're at, you start stepping now into a place of self-love. And self-love is, again, that journey. So if you think about cultivating relationships with others, it all stems from how we have that relationship with ourselves. So again, everything goes from top down, right? So divinely inspired, God has given me everything. He called me who I am. He told me who I am. I was created with, on, and for a purpose. So that enoughness is already inherited. That is who I am. And also when you have that enoughness, you realize that you are created with, on, and for a purpose. The purpose comes from identity. Identity is knowing who you are. But then if you look at the perspective of how do you step into your purpose, because we also ask ourselves this, what am I here for? What is my purpose? If we're not willing to face our past or the pain or the experiences, we can again leverage what was happening to us for us. So I love that there's that cliche mantra out there. Your pain becomes your purpose. I heard that at the time until I had to really endure that pain. And that pain allowed me to heal at a deeper place where it wasn't about just changing the dressings or bandaging as I was going. I really had to do that inner work. So my pain now is my purpose. My mess is my message. And that has allowed me to come on the other side because now I have something greater and bigger beyond myself that I'm living for.
Rachel, your message resonates with me very deeply because I've had my own kind of knees to floor moments. Each one leads to this additional evolution, this deeper evolution. And so I'm curious for people who maybe they haven't hit that level and depth of pain yet or that reckoning moment, what should they be thinking about and feeling and experiencing? Because I find that a lot of people intellectualize a lot of things, meaning like they listen and they say, no, I understand logically that I am enough. Like they say that, but then it's hard for them to embody it and truly feel it. Especially if they haven't gone through that kind of moment of hitting the floor and it's like the phoenix rising, right? They haven't done that yet because for some people, they haven't been forced to do it yet. So what would you say to them, people who are, they're steeped in negative self-talk, they have all these limiting beliefs, they are suffering, they're suffering each day, but they haven't hit that point yet. And we don't necessarily want them, need them to hit that point. What can they do to accelerate their own growth and evolution in this way, to feel really worthy and to live that way and work that way?
Yes, you actually touched on one point right there when you said about the suffering, because the suffering is that we keep beating ourselves up. We keep saying we're not enough. So logically, we're like, yeah, but I am, because all the things out there, God says I am, or the meme says I am, or some influencer says I am. Like, you can hear it. But if you haven't actually received it in your heart and there's that the knowledge and the understanding, if you don't actually believe it, it won't resonate with you. But suffering, one of the things that I had learned was suffering, again, is universal. You don't have to hit rock bottom to suffer, because suffering is something it's a state. But suffering, from what I've learned, is that when we suffer, it's because we put so much focus on self. Mm. We're so self-absorbed in that sense. Like, what are they going to think? What about me? It's always me or I. But when we shift that perspective, it's about how can I see myself maybe the way that my friends see me? So you start asking your friends or your peers, your loved ones, what good qualities do you see in me? Why do you resonate with me? Or just having those honest conversations, and then take what they say and sit with it, and then find moments in your life that align with those statements. Because sometimes it's hard for us to say, we can give ourselves that pep talk and be like, yeah, look at me, go girl, whatever it is, like it's the reflection in the mirror. But again, do we truly see it? So sometimes we have to ask outside of ourselves. But one of the things that I think for me was I had to start with the reflection in the mirror. I had to ask myself these questions like, okay, I don't look good or feel good. And especially coming from a fitness background, I'm a former fitness competitor. There's a big thing with body image, right? So I had struggled with body dysmorphia, eating disorders, disordered eating, extreme exercise, all those things, because I had such low self-esteem and such a low identity of my image, right? I did not see any good quality in me. But it took those moments, and I don't want to use the phrase fake it till you make it, but sometimes you have to just give yourself moments when you know that you look good or you feel good, into those fleeting moments and capture them. Take a selfie in the moment that you feel good about yourself. Just something. In those moments, just cherish that. Take a selfie. Document it. I feel so good about myself. Your partner, your husband, your friends, they'll say compliments to you. Write those down. Because now what you're doing, you're putting deposits in the evidence bucket. Because we've already built our evidence bucket. We already can speak out what we believe about ourselves, which is not truth. So you can discern between what is truth and what is lie. Because if you truly believe that you were created for something good, by good, right, that you birthed here for a reason, that's true. The lie is going to tell you you're worthless, you're ugly, you're stupid, you're too old, you're too young, you're limited in this, you're not good enough here. That is the lie. That is the enemy. That is what we keep buying into, because that narrative has been playing on a repeat for years and years. If you're seeking supportive evidence to believe and deposit in that negative bucket, you can just very well flip it and start seeking evidence to put into your positive bucket, the truth bucket. So when you start collecting more evidence to support that, you can't help but not to say, maybe there's some truth to this. Maybe I'm not as I say I am. I would say the pretty nuts of things about myself. Whatever that looks like for you, because as you're supporting those pieces to validate now this new refined belief about yourself, you're redefining, you're flipping the script, you're changing the narrative, you're capturing those moments, you're writing those moments in your journal or a voice memo, something to continue to support over time, because you're going to have moments of relapse where you're going to say, yeah, I'm not enough. But now you have a bank to go deposit or all your deposits to pull from. So it's a journey. It's an evolution. And it's not something that's going to happen overnight or over a week or over a month. But when you look at the small micro steps over time, you're going to look back and say, wow, look how far I've come. I'm actually more kind to myself. I'm giving myself grace. I'm not as mean and negative to myself. Those are moments of progress that need to be celebrated. But it's not something that you just go from one to the other. And to be honest, it's like once that I hit that bottom, that was that pivotal moment, but I'm still on this journey. Even a decade later, we're still on this journey. We'll continue on this journey. But we only quit when we decide that's enough when we're done.
Yeah, I completely resonate with the still being on the journey, right? I'm sure for you too, the work you do with people and the work that I do with people, like we also live the work too. Like we're not immune to these things. And one of the challenges or objections, one thing that I often hear for those who don't engage in this work, Rachel, who like just not, they're not there, they will say, I don't have time to be thinking about these things and to deal with this because I have so much going on, because compartmentalizing has become their primary coping mechanism. I'm wondering what advice you have for those women.
Yeah, here's the realness of it. Those are distractors and they're numbing agents, because we really don't want to face the hard truth. And the hard truth is that we're running from something, but that something is going to be fear. That something is going to be that you don't want to hear, because nobody wants to be told to their face or not enough, but we repeat that to ourselves a million times a day. So it's easier to run. It's easier to distract and it's easier to numb out. So we busy ourselves. We don't have time. The reality is that we haven't made ourselves a priority to make that time. So for us to gain, we have to lose. Something has to go, right? In order for us to bump ourselves up on the priority list, something has to give. But then we can ask ourselves, yeah, but then that's important and that's important because I need this and I need that. Do you? Or do you want to temporarily sacrifice something to give, to lose, so that you can gain so much more in the end? So it ultimately comes down to the gains and losses. You have to ask yourself, what are you willing to lose in order to gain? Because when you can gain, you're gaining yourself back, right? You're putting yourself as that top priority. You're gaining insight into who you are. You're gaining experience from where you've come from. You're gaining self-love. You're gaining appreciation for yourself. And once you know yourself, once you can overcome so much of what's holding you back, you become more free. And I think that's really where we're wanting to go. We've been so limited by our beliefs, by our external world, right? Our society, our norms, the rules, the pressure, right? To be this certain thing. But what would life look like on the other side when you have absolute freedom, complete freedom to be you? And I think that's what we're ultimately after, to live this authentic life. But what is authenticity? We see this kind of buzzing around in the web, especially in social media, but what is authenticity? It isn't just about speaking out your truth, but if you still have some pain that you're reliving or is coming from a place of, I have to prove something, that's not authenticity. Authenticity is where you have nothing holding you back. You don't have to prove anything anymore. You don't have to chase anymore. You don't have to be limited. You just get to be you. The hot mess, the flaws, the imperfections, all those things that make you uniquely you is something that we have been covering up and masking and pretending and placating and putting ourselves into these perfectly little box personas because we're afraid. We're afraid to be judged. We're afraid to not be accepted. We're afraid they won't like us. We're afraid of what people will think. We're afraid of rejection. But let me ask you that. what happens if they do, right? Can you be okay with yourself? Because when you're authentic and you're living your true identity and your true purpose, nobody could take that from you. That's something you are willing to give away then at that point. Mm-hmm. Authenticity, one of the greatest gifts you'll ever give yourself. That's just one thing that I have just experienced is coming through on the other side. And it's like you're constantly evolving through life anyway. Your authentic self today is going to be a more elevated version in the future. But I challenge those that are listening, before you step into this authentic version of yourself, ask yourself, are you really free? Because when other people have something to say about you, the opinions of other people, right? Can you brush that off? Are you okay with it? When you get rejected, are you okay with it? When you didn't get that promotion or that job or that next something that you're striving for, can you be okay with that? And there's nothing there for you to prove. So there's no defense. There's no reaction. And we can actually respond from a place of love when that thing happens to us, because it will happen to us. But there's so much to gain on that other side, but it's really, again, asking ourselves, what are we willing to temporarily cause, remove, discard, sort out, let go, whatever you want to call that stuff? Because your freedom comes at a cost. You're paying it right now. And that's something that I don't know about you, but me, I'm just like, I feel like I paid that price. And to live not as myself, but how others wanted me to, I lost all pieces of me. I didn't know who I was. I could save my roles or my occupation or my achievements, but those can be gone tomorrow. I could say all the things that I'm not, but that's not true, right?
You make such a great point about the need to look inward and to really engage, to really get to even more healing and to progress and to be more free. Because so many people, when they think of authenticity, I think many people think of just being themselves and being able to say what they want to say. Authenticity to me is similar to what you shared of truly knowing yourself and being anchored in truth, so that what other people say or do, whether they reject you or they don't, you're so anchored in who you are and your purpose and why you're here and what you're doing. I usually refer to it like those bubble things that people will play on the grass. Like they get into this massive bubble and then they bounce around and then they're like, you know, going upside down and doing somersault in this bubble. I often think of it like that, is that when things happen, it's like they bounce off because you're like, oh, that wasn't meant for me. Okay, well, that's not for me. Okay, well, that person isn't for me. Because you're so much in your peace. I don't have 100% inner peace, Rachel. I don't know about you. I don't yet. I hope one day I get there. As you grow and evolve, it has gotten easier. You feel more joy. You feel more fulfillment. It's not that you've reached the pinnacle of fulfillment or freedom, but you feel it more. And you don't just think about it. You feel it in your body. There's like a difference there. And even when, as you're talking, I'm like, oh yeah, she totally is in it. Like you, and my hope for so many people listening is that they really place some attention on themselves and how they're living. And they engage with those really hard questions that you are so eloquently sharing with us.
And it's eventually you become immune to what other people have to say about you because you know you're true. I said it comes over time. And that's not to say like what I'm sharing today is like, oh, she doesn't struggle anymore. She doesn't question or doubt. Right. Oh, I'm human. Let's see what happens. And there's moments where I'm like, oh man, I just got rejected from that thing. And I'll be upset for a moment, but I'll allow myself to feel it, but I won't beat myself up. I would say it. It was just like, oh, that's a bummer. Definitely stings. But you know what? It's on to the next one. That means that something else is going to happen, something better than I could ever imagine is going to happen. So you're not bulletproof. You're real. But to your point also where you say what other people could say about you is it just breezes over you. You're in this bubble because you've redefined what your truth is. So for them, they're speaking a lie. And now you can discern that. Just like when somebody says, oh, you're such a kind, loving person. If I didn't believe that about myself, I'd be like, oh, that's a lie. But now on the flip side, somebody says, oh, you're such a jerk. And I'm like, that's a lie. Because it's now I decipher between the two because I've deposited all those into my positive bucket and I've reframed who I am. I start believing I'm building up my ammo. So now when somebody does speak negatively about me, and it could be my own voice, I'll be like, shut up. That's not true. That's not who I am. Just for context for a moment here, if somebody says, you're wearing a purple shirt, be like, no, I'm not. Like, they say purple's so ugly. I hate purple, blah, blah, blah. I say all the things, but I'm like, no, I'm wearing a white shirt. So to me, it's just obvious. And it's the same as how we wear our own identities internally. So everything we want to achieve or desire in this world all starts within. That's the inner world. So how we color ourselves from inside is how we're going to color our life externally. We're going to be at a place that's happier, more content, more loving, more peaceful. Because I know what it feels like to be in that dark space. Actually, the original title, slight folder title of my book was Out of the Shadows and Into the Light, because it was such a dark time. But the redemption and the restoration, again, God did that for me. However this looks for each individual, whether it's you harnessing that and turning that darkness into light, there's an opportunity to come on the other side. Because everything in life, there's a dichotomy. There's always a good and a bad, an evil and good. It's like light and dark, right? So everything has an opposite. If we've experienced the opposite, we know how heavy that feels. We know the pain, the struggle, the heartache, the burdens, the heaviness of just life. Just think of what on the other side is. That's where more freedom, more peace, more fulfillment, more love, joy, happiness, contentment. Those are states. So essentially, all of this is a state of being. But if the being, you don't know who you be, that's the question you should be asking yourself.
Yes. Rachel, you mentioned your book. I would love for you to define for us perfectionism and how it could perhaps be detrimental if you take on that perspective of needing to be a perfectionist at everything, but then how it could sometimes serve you. I'm wondering if we could chat about that.
For me, I would say a perfectionist is somebody who lives in a state of not enoughness. Mm. Perfectionism does not exist. And there's a quote out there, and I think of who it was at the top of my head right now, but they say perfection is the ultimate failure, because when we're striving for perfection, we will always lose because we hit it 100% of the time. So we ask ourselves, I can't be perfect. Why bother? Why try? Right. So for me, it was taking back that thinking that I had to be perfect, all or nothing, black or white, the extremes that a perfectionism lives in. And now as I start to embrace flexible lifestyle, and I think it goes back to me as a fitness competitor dieting, it was either all or nothing, and I had a white knuckle all of my diets, especially for competitions. And I started taking this flexible dieting approach, and it really just honed in on the concept of an 80-20 approach. But you can flex, right? So I can take that 80-20 approach and be 100% because I know there's wiggle room for adjustments. And I'm not going to be upset if there's one day where I'm 70 and 30. Or to be honest, some days are like, I give 10 and I'm back on the 90. But it's okay because you're flexible and you understand that as long as you're doing your best every single day, your best is going to change day in and day out. But if I go for the 80%, at least I know that I'm going to hit the mark 80% of the time, where it's like you're giving yourself that freedom of flexibility to just pull back and just be like, you know what? Mistakes are going to happen. I'm going to mess up. Things are not going to be perfect. But right there, you've allowed grace to come in. You've allowed just experiences to shape you and not have to hit 100% of the time, because that's not the reality of it. So perfection, I think that there's moments that are perfect, but I don't think that it's sustainable. I don't think it's something you can sustain over time. Like when you just have that moment, that perfect joy moment, but as fleeting as that comes, it can leave.
Yes.
We can't sustain that moment of joy forever, eternity, perfect all the time. But you can embrace a perfect moment.
So I think of your accomplishments and all of your achievements, right? And people who are listening can relate to this too. That hunger and that drive, like that insatiable hunger to not only achieve, because I never found it was about achieving the thing. It was achieving it at my standard. It was my own standard that was really high. I used to always say, oh, my standard is higher than everybody else's, meaning people that I worked for, and be like, I'm not trying to meet your expectations, I'm trying to meet my own expectations that are high. And I'm wondering, because I sometimes feel like, yeah, that served me to a certain extent before, right? It was also always at my own expense, right? But it also, at the same time, sometimes it felt, at least on the outside, that it served me because I was able to achieve and do those things, do certain things. I'm wondering what your views are on that, because you are clearly like a high performer. And so you understand what it takes to accomplish and achieve. And so I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that, that the desire to reach that level pushed you to essentially reach very high. What do you think about
that? I'll just keep it real. I've done that. I've reached the pinnacle.
Yeah.
And as a high achiever, everything that I've wanted to achieve up to this point, I mean, of course, I still have like my 5 and 10 year goals. Last time in my life,
there's no Zoom. Yeah, from Korea. Listen, I met somebody
was back me. They're like, hey, next time we see each other, let's talk about our 6 month goals. And I said, six? I mean, why limit, right? For the realness of it, I've accomplished everything that I set out to achieve. But once you hit that pinnacle, you realize that this is success without fulfillment. I achieved everything and got to the top, and that's it. What's next? And it kept me going back on a chase. And it's funny as I say this now, like this is literally the revelation in these past like few short years. Because even though, I mean, I wrote my book years ago, and that was a big achievement and a big successful moment for me. And I mean, the awards, the bestsellers, the new release, like all this stuff, which was just like, wow. At the time I was publishing the book, somebody asked me, what are you going to do to celebrate? It was the first time I ever had that moment. I was just like, celebrate. Crossed off my list, been on there for years. That's the celebration. On to the next one.
Rachel, wait a second, because that is exactly how most of us operate.
Because we're like, I was supposed to do this.
Yes, and next goal, please, thank you. Because it's all this wiring, right? That we don't take a minute to recognize. And if anyone out there has ever written a book or has not written a book, it is challenging.
And it deserves a party, okay? A big party.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, yes. And that was the first time, what am I going to do? I don't even know how to celebrate. I mean, I'm just at a place of like, I do what I want when I want kind of thing. Because it was just, I was able to. So for me, crossing that off my list was the biggest sense of celebration. But I go on to publish the book and I was like, okay, I think I'm supposed to have a party. I think I'm supposed to do this. So it's starting to take shape. And of course, I published in the middle of a pandemic. So did not have a party. You couldn't even get within 6 feet of people. But I had gotten to the point in my life where I'm okay with when things don't happen. Because I realized those things are not always supposed to happen, because that would be a perfect scenario and perfection doesn't exist. So as I find myself back in this journey of just at this place, it was chasing perfection. And for me, I was just chasing these next things, which is what coincidentally is pointed up as chasing success. So what is success? So success, I thought, was based off of my merits and my achievements. And I have this laundry list of achievements. That's why I said I'm not impressed by people's titles and roles anymore, because what is that? Because that can lead to burnout, isolation, loneliness, an identity crisis, because you don't know who you are without those achievements. And it got to a place where I was like, I just want fulfillment. But what is fulfillment? Fulfillment is something so deeply rooted in, and it gives you meaning. Fulfillment is tied to that purpose. So even though going back to the beginning of this conversation about turning your pain into purpose, but what is purpose if you're pursuing it without fulfillment? Because you do need to be in a place of gratitude, and there's art of fulfillment. Because science gives you a blueprint. Here's the steps. This is what you need to do to tackle your plans and achieve your goals and do your things. But the art is so subjective, because what I consider fulfilling is going to be different than how you might consider what fulfillment is. And so fulfillment is the success that I'm after. I want complete and utter freedom to have no attachment, to have nothing. Because when I'm free in me, I get to fully experience it without any strings attached, without any attachments of outcomes or any of those things. And that's what I'm actually after. But I didn't realize that until I got to the top of that mountain and was like, damn, this sucks. And then I burned out. I faded out because I found myself repeating a lot of what landed me to that bottom of the pit. But this time my pit was a little bit shallower because I've learned the lessons, but I've also recognized when burnout was happening. Burnout, I was just like, there we go again. So I kamikaze my way out and I let everything else crash and burn. I was like, at least this time I'm going to save myself. And that's one thing that is constant in your entire life, in your entire relationships, is you. That's why you need to be the priority. Again, the cost does not outweigh the reward.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Rachel, no, I loved how you framed it as science of achievement and art of fulfillment, because that reminds me of science of achievement. It's like you laid it out. There's an outline. There's a blueprint for what you need to do. Even good grades, go to a college, like all those things. Or here's what you have to do to be at the top level of the fitness industry. Like, here are the steps to follow. And you do those. And then the idea is that if you do those, you go to the next one and then you can achieve the thing. But fulfillment, you're right. There is no blueprint for anybody because we're all so different. And you can't know what your own definition is unless you go inside. And we get honest about that. And some people, that's very, as you mentioned before, it's terrifying. Because what if their real definition is not what their life looks like right now? Right? And that's where the work is. Right? You're terrified to move forward anyway. You're terrified and you make a little change here. And you're terrified and you make this other change. And you slowly start experiencing what it feels like to be moving towards this fulfillment that you've defined for yourself. And how freaking empowering is that, right? How empowering is that?
What does freedom look like for you?
Yeah.
When you have no allegiance to anyone except you. We're women. We take on a lot more roles and responsibilities than we should. So that's why we have to put our lives under a microscope at some point, right? Obviously, ourselves first, because going back to, I would say, if you are not at your best, you cannot serve the rest. Are we not in a place of service? Are we not mothers, wives, friends, daughters? Do we not either own our own business or work for somebody, right? How are we showing up in those areas? So if we're operating on the fumes because we don't think that we deserve it, or we put ourselves at the bare minimum last, then how are we showing up? So the relationship with self is, again, that one true constant that is always in everything that you do. So the question isn't, we look at from what society says about, if you do the thing, you can have the thing, and then you'll be happy, then you'll be loved, then you'll be promoted, all the same, right? No, flip the narrative, flip the script. It's about, what if you get to be that first? Mm-hmm. And then you have that experience, and you get to go do that thing that you've always wanted. That's freedom.
Yes. So Rachel, you've shared with us a lot of wisdom, a lot of knowledge, but I'm going to ask you one last question before I ask you where people can find you to work with you. What's the number one piece of advice or takeaway for those listening?
It all goes back to a tagline that I've always pointed for myself, and I want to gift it to your listeners, but you have the power to create your own story. If you don't like it, you can create it. You are the writer, the director, the producer, the star, the promoter, the everything. Everything you want is found within, but you have to seek within to find it. Externally, you're not going to find it. You'll find all the things you don't want, but that's what shapes the reality of who you become.
That's beautiful.
Before we close today, I want to leave you with this. You don't have to keep chasing perfection, hustling for your worth, or waiting until you have it all together to step into the life you were created for. If this conversation spoke to you, I want to invite you to grab a copy of my book, Chasing Perfection, along with the bonus bundle I created just for you. Inside, you'll find the tools, encouragement, and practical strategies to finally drop the pressure of perfect and move forward with confidence. See the link in the show notes below. And if you're looking for a simple way to start right now, you can also download my free I Am Enough Reset, a 5-day guide to help you break free from the lies of not enough and step into the truth of who God says you are. That link is also in the show notes below. Remember, you are already equipped, already called, and already enough. Now is time to start living like it. Until next time, take care.
Hey there, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.